I want you to take your Bible this morning and turn to Proverbs chapter number 31. Proverbs chapter 31. This morning, I am just going to talk about mothers for a little while. And you say, well, I'm not a mom, but this will be good for you because you have a mom. And I just want you to hear me out. Proverbs chapter number 31, and I'd like for you to find verse number 16. Proverbs chapter 31, verse number 16. Now let's only step out if there's an emergency. Make sure your cell phone is off so it doesn't interrupt our service. Stand with me if you would, please. Proverbs chapter 31, starting with verse number 16. And I'm going to read just a few verses out loud here. The Bible says, "She considereth a field, and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength, and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth out not by night." Now look at verse number 27. "She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness." I'm going to pray for us, and then we're just going to, for a little while, talk about moms, if we could, this morning. Father, bless us with thy presence. I pray, God, that first of all, you'll be glorified in what is said and done in this place in the next few minutes. Then, Father, I pray that the mothers that are here today would be encouraged. I pray that they would feel appreciated, and that they would know that someone has noticed their energy and effort in life. God, for those that are ladies that are not mothers, I pray that they would learn from what is said, that they would admire what is said, and maybe even set the goal to become what is described. To all of us, may we be reminded of what mothers mean and what mothers do, for the sake of their children, their husbands, their families, and for the cause of Jesus Christ. Now bless us with thy presence as we talk about this simple subject today in regard to Mother's Day, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat there if you will. When I glanced at this passage of Scripture, it said, speaking of the Proverbs 31 woman, and I believe that this is a mom being described here, it says, "She considereth a field." You wouldn't think it, but I think it's talking about she looks at a field, a place to plant a garden, a place for crops, and she's actually out looking at that field, and she's going to possibly help to make the purchase of it. And you say, well, is that something a man would do? Well, according to this, mom's involved, and mom's taking a look at it, and mom's going to have something to do with the possibility of buying a piece of property. Say, why the field? Of course, she needed to have crops because she needed to harvest the crops so that she could make, corn for cornbread and all those good things that are important, potatoes for mashed potatoes and gravy and a big old clump of butter right on top of that thing. And to get that corn, she can feed the chicken. You say, what for? So she can fry chicken. And all the things, this is called exegesis of the Old Testament Scripture. You have to have a doctor's degree to be able to figure out that fried chicken is right there in those first three words where she considereth that field. It says, the fruit of her hands, she planteth a vineyard. And now that vineyard would bring forth grapes. It would bring forth, of course, the juice and the other things that would grow in that vineyard. It says she girdeth her loins with strength. She's not a weakling. She's a hard worker. It says she strengtheneth her arms. And this isn't talking about going down to the exercise place and paying someone to watch you exercise. This is talking about somebody that's out there on the farm. And they're working. And they're working in the field. And they're exercising and toiling. It says she perceiveth that her merchandise is good. She's been constructive with her hands. I don't know if she has made baked goods. I don't know if she is as a seamstress. She has goods. She has merchandise that she distributes or maybe sells. It says her candle goeth out not by night. In other words, she's on call 24/7. If she's needed in the night, she's ready to go, and she's there. She doesn't have hours that she posts out front. You get to verse number 27 in this very same mom. It says, she looketh well to the way of her household. In other words, she's just attending to things around the house, making sure things are cared for. It says, she eateth not the bread of idleness. And again, it goes back to, she's not lazy. She doesn't lay around the house. Things are done. Things are cared for. Things are kept up. And wow, what a powerful description is being made here of, I think, a lady who is a mom. Today is Mother's Day. Oh, I thought about reading to you a big old long list of all the mothers in the Bible. I looked at them. I looked at name after name after name of the mom and their kids. And I thought, well, I won't belabor you with that. I looked up in the Bible time and time again, mothers, certain types of influence. I looked up prayers and how moms had prayed for their families and prayed for their sons and prayed for their daughters and prayed for their preachers and prayed for so many. And I just got to looking at it, and I found prayer after prayer after prayer after prayer of moms. And let me tell you, ladies, if you want to be a good mom, you're going to have to learn to be a praying mom. And you say, why, preacher? Because you can't do it on your own. Let me explain to you, ladies, and I mean this. Your hearts are too big for you to be able to handle it all on your own. You know how big your heart is. You know how you'd like everything to be just right and just so. And there's so many things that, yeah, as a mama, you wanna fix it up and doctor it up. Ladies, you can't handle such a big heart without getting God involved. You just gotta pray. You say, why? Because God will give you the energy and the strength to accomplish what you'd like to accomplish as a mama. Oh my, the scripture speaks over and over again. The Bible talks about the commitment of a mother. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 30, it says, and the mother of the child said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And he arose and followed here. I wish I had time to tell you the story. There's a mom that had made a commitment. Boy, if you want to be a good mom, it's going to take commitment. And then there's the compassion of a mother. Proverbs 31:20 says, she stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hand to the needy. Oh, moms have that compassion on people. Then, mamas provide comfort. Isaiah 66:13 says, as one whom his mother comforteth. Thank God for ladies. Thank God for their comfort. I'm glad my kids had a mom. You say, why? My kids get hurt. You know, my basic instinct was, suck it up. Shut up. Life's tough. You're going to bleed. You know, my kid's 18 months old. My wife has to go over and say, hang in there, buddy. You don't have to deal with your dad all the time like that. Well, thank God for the comfort of mamas. And mamas help with discipline. The Bible says in Proverbs 23:13, withhold not correction from the child. Oh, mamas provide example. Proverbs 31:25 says, strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. In other words, you can read in her that strength and that honor. It reflects in her behavior. Thank God for mama's faith. Matthew 15:28 says, then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Thank God for ladies of faith. Thank God for ladies of compassion. Thank God for ladies of comfort and ladies that help with discipline and commitment. And then godliness. Proverbs 31:30 again, that chapter that describes ladies to us, it says, favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Thank God for ladies that fear God, that love God. Then, obviously, there's that aspect of a mom where she's a homemaker. And I want to say to everybody here, I really don't care what modern society says. I think of no greater thing that a lady can do than take care of home and take care of kids and be there for dad. To me, that is still the highest calling known to man. You may have a career, but your career will never exceed being a woman, being a wife, and being a mama. Nothing greater than that. Titus 2:5 says to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed, makes lots of apple pie and fresh cookies. Thank God for homemakers. Thank God for the love that moms provide. The Bible says in Titus 2:4 that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, and to love their children. Thank God for the morality of moms and women that help our country. Proverbs 31:29 says, many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Thank God for the obedience that you see in a lady's life. In 1 Peter 3:6 it says, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. They're providers. They want to provide for their families. 1 Samuel 2:19 says, moreover, his mother made him a little coat and brought it to him from year to year. The ladies are the sacrificers in the family. In Genesis 3, verse 16, it says, unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow in conception. And the Bible, mamas sacrifice for their kids and sacrifice for the family. And then there's that thankfulness in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse number 1, where you see the lady by the name of Hannah reaching out and rejoicing in God. I have to tell you, I could do a verse by verse by verse by verse and mention to you all the qualities of a mom. Moms are truly special people. Moms have to be tender and then suddenly tough. Moms have to be hard, and then in a moment, their hearts can be so soft. They can be gentle, and they can be rough. They can show you beauty, and they can show you strength, all wrapped into one. Wednesday night, if you missed Wednesday night church, I wish you would have been here. I taught a whole lesson on the subject of wise and harmless. Oh, if that does not describe what mothers have to be. They have to be wise enough to know what's right and to stand for what's right, but then harmless as they administrate that right. I got to thinking about everything that moms have to do. Ladies, I can't tell you how much I admire you. How do you do it? How are you so many things to so many people? It's incredible to me. I thank God for my wife. She has been and is a good mother. I thank God for my mama. She is a good lady. I got to thinking about you ladies. I got to thinking about the amazing accomplishments and achievements and really what you are. I'm going to try to describe what mother is, but we're not going to have enough time. I can't be thorough enough. Men, you'll associate to this, and obviously you ladies will too, but there are men that have multiple abilities in life. There are men that know how to paint, and they're carpenters, and they're plumbers, and they're electricians, and they can do some of it all. There's a term that I use for a guy that can do a little bit of it all. I call him the jack of all trades. Have you all ever heard that terminology? The jack of all trades. He can do just some of it all. I struggled trying to figure out the title for my sermon today. I'm calling the sermon today the Jane of all trades. The Jane of all trades. And I think you'll agree with me in just a few minutes. The jack of all trades, who is a man, that's a man that can do a little bit of everything. He's a general practitioner. You know, somebody can do a little bit of it all. Not necessarily a specialist. Oh my. A mother is truly the Jane, if you will, of all trades. For instance, the Jane of all trades are some of our best preachers. And I'm not talking about a female that stands in the pulpit. This isn't about Joel Osteen. Mothers are preachers. Some of the best sermons I've ever heard came from my mom. You all think I'm personal standing up here. Just get a sermon from your mom. You say, Pastor, spare us. I need to say to my mom more than one time, spare me. Aren't you worried about offending me, Mother? Mothers will preach the most personal sermons. Here's what I love about moms. They'll tell you the truth. Moms will tell you the truth. Something moms can do when they preach that I don't get away with. Moms will grab you by the chin and say, look at me. You know how many times I wish I could come to some of you and grab your chin and say, look up here at me while I'm preaching. But your mama, she'll say, you look right here in my eye. I'm talking to you. Mothers, the Jane of all trades, they're preachers. They're persistent. You say, preacher, you repeat yourself a lot. I learned it from my mom. And their sermons are productive. And I'm amazed. Mamas, don't stop. Keep preaching to your kids. You say they get tired of it. Boy, do I understand that part of it. Just keep preaching. Don't you give up. You be persistent. The Jane of all trades is a preacher. The Jane of all trades are medical professionals. Kitchens become emergency rooms. Moms are our nutritionists. They're the ones that will tell you an apple pie from McDonald's is not equal to fruit. They're going to tell you to eat your vegetables. Hey, and moms, it wouldn't hurt that there was a revival again of mothers caring about what their children eat. We live in a very sick society. It has something to do with what we put in our bodies. Mothers, they might not all carry around a black bag, you know, the old black bag that the doctor would carry, but I can tell you this, they've got something even better than that. Mothers kiss boo-boos and make them better. They analyze both physical and emotional injuries, and they then prescribe a cure. Mom can put her hand on a brow and calm a child. Oh my. Moms know when we need a stitch and when we don't. Moms are there. They know that Band-Aids that have a picture of Donald Duck on it heal you quicker than those plain old-fashioned ones. And it's just amazing. But to me, the Jane of all trades, mom's doctor. Moms, they preach. Not only that, moms are financial consultants. The Jane of all trades, a mom, I wonder how many times I heard my mom say, I'd get some money and she'd say, don't spend that all in one place. Save some for a rainy day. Mom's purse becomes her vault. Moms give out unsecured loans. Even if the borrower has bad credit, how many moms have heard kids say, Mom, will you lend me a dollar? Lend. Do you kids understand what the word lend means? Lend means you're going to pay it back. You didn't mean lend. You meant give. But you wanted to soften the blow, so you said lend. Oh, moms. Thank God for moms. I cannot tell you how many times I'd run to my mom to get a nickel, get a quarter, get a dollar. And now, in this day and age, I don't know, you're probably getting fives and tens and twenties and gold bars. But, my mother's the one that would say, well, son, you just can't have everything you want. What was she doing? She was my financial consultant. She'd put the money in my pocket and shove it deep in my pocket. Because I'd be in a hurry. I'd get the money and I'd stick it at the top of my pocket and I'd be running up the street and it'd be falling out as I'd run. So mom would shove it deep in my pocket and she'd say, don't lose that money. And my mother taught me agriculture. She said, money doesn't grow on trees. Yeah. Mom, can I have a dollar? Mom, can I have a nickel? Mom, can I have a quarter? Oh my. The truths, the things that my mother taught me, just about money. Mothers, to me, are the Janes of all trade. Mothers work in the legal profession. Judge, jury, and executioner. Yeah. Mothers make many decisions all day long and all week long among their children. As a judge, her robe may be her cooking apron and her gavel may be her spatula, which also works very well when she puts on the executioner's hood. I hated wood spatulas at our house. I hid them when I could. Moms dispute, she settles disputes, she passes sentences. My mother, as a judge, she used to say to me, which part of no do you not understand? Sound familiar? I remember my mother saying, you will sit there until you clean your plate. Now, my mother wasn't a liar. She meant it. I'd still be sitting there, bearded up. Because when mother put her hands on my mother, she's just a little skinny, tiny piece of dynamite that I didn't cross. My mom said, "You're going to clean your plate." We cleaned our plate. This new generation has lost some of that. My mother would say, "Yeah, kiss your seat goodbye. Boy, you're not going to see it for a while." She knew how to tan my hide. And I have no regrets about having a mother that helped me to understand the ways of life. The mother, what is she? I think she, if I could, and I don't mean it disrespectfully at all, I believe she's a multifaceted, incredibly capable person. She's the Jane of all trades. A mom is a preacher, and a mom is a medical professional, and a mom is a financial advisor, and a mom knows how to be a judge and a jury. And our moms they're our biggest school teachers. They're our biggest school teachers. They teach us to talk. They teach us ABCs. They teach us to count and multiply and divide. I tell you what's incredible about moms. You know, all moms know foreign languages. You say, "No, brother, all I know is English." If you've ever heard a child talk when they first get born, that is foreign to me. I mean, yeah, mom says, "You want a cookie?" I'm thinking, that didn't sound like cookie at all to me. And my mother, hey, my wife, she could tell the war cry of the kids. My kids could be in the backyard, and one of them going, "What?" I'm thinking, "Oh, no, they broke in their neck." And my wife would say, "No, they're fine. They're settling a difference." And she knew the difference. You moms, you know what I'm talking about? She could tell the difference in the war cry and the cry. I still to this day can't tell the difference. They're teachers. Oh, moms are instructors. They teach us to read and you know, all the teachers out there. And moms, it wouldn't hurt if you're not like this. It wouldn't hurt that you get involved in your children's education again. Look right at me, and I'm going to say something. It'll be hard on a few of you, but you need to hear it. You can't pay somebody to rear your kids for you. Not even the government in their school system. Parents, it is your responsibility to make sure your children are educated. If they go elsewhere to get some education, you are still to have a part in it. Oh, but thank God for moms. Thank God for moms. They talk to you about schooling. And you young people that are in here, if you bring homework home and mom says to you, "Have you done your homework?" And you don't like that, you better thank God you have a good mom. Your mom's interested in your education. And your mom is interested in you growing up. And there's no dumb child. Everybody has the potential to learn and to increase. And thank God for moms. Our moms teach us not to write on walls with crayons and magic markers. Thank God for moms. Thank God for moms. What are they? I call them the Jane of all trades. Who are they? They're preachers. They're medical professionals. They're financial advisors. They're judge, jury. They're teachers. They're coaches. Moms are coaches. That Jane of all trades, they coach us through life. And let me tell you something, and you moms are discovering this. You know, you can't wait till the kids, you know, they get out of grade school, get out of high school, they graduate, they go to college, and you're thinking, it is just so good to see them launch and go off on their own. I have not totally discovered that they totally ever go off on their own. You know, they still need their mom. And there's nobody in here. You're not too big for your mom, and mom, you're still needed. You will be needed all the way to the end. But moms are coaches. They'll make us practice what it is that life throws our way so we can get good at it. Many a mom has taught her son to throw a ball. And thank God for it. I know moms that have taught their kids how to swing a bat. And that's okay. That's okay. My dads get involved. But hey, if you're a mom and you're raising a boy without a dad around, teach him, mom. You can still teach him to do some things. Don't give up on that. And thank God, moms, and moms often play both parts. Dads get busy. Dads are out working, and I think very sincerely, and some maybe ought to take a little more interest in what's going on at home. But moms, let me tell you something. If you keep influencing your boy so he doesn't walk like a girl, you need to do that. You need to do that. It's often mom that's in the stands at school cheering. They're cheerleaders. They're coaches. I'll tell you something. I coached a lot. I coached 54 different soccer teams in my day. I would much rather deal with a dad watching in the stands than a mom. I've had moms say, well, why didn't you put my boy in? Why ain't my boy playing? I'm thinking, because your boy can't dribble. He can't do anything. I can tell the dad that. You can't tell a mom that. You can't tell her that. Thank God for moms that are spectators in the crowds. And thank God for moms that believe in their boy. And thank God for moms that are coaches that blow the whistle in life and break up the fights on the field. Thank God for moms. What are they? Moms are, they're referees. They're coaches. They coach our friendships in life. They coach our relationships in life. But not only that. The Jane of all trades, mom, they're like jailers sometimes. You say, jailers? Uh-huh. They help us by controlling us. They say things like, go to your room. Or you're grounded. They teach us the penalty for wrong. And moms, you need to keep teaching your children. There is a penalty for doing wrong. If we don't teach them, life will teach it to them, and it won't be a good experience. It's mom who says, sit on the couch and you may never be allowed to get up. Thank God for the exaggeration part of moms. I must have driven my mom insane a lot because I often got these threats that were like lifelong. Go to your room and don't you ever come down. Bummer. But moms put out the sentences and try to help us to learn that there are penalties in life. What is mom? She's kind of the Jane of all trades. A plethora of experience and investment in people. Moms are, they're firefighters. They're the ones that teach us not to play with matches. They're usually the ones. Dads, they encourage playing with matches. But let's go burn something. Thank God for moms. Moms are the ones that will tell you wet to bed if you play with those matches. Yeah. They put out fires between brothers and sisters. Hey, sometimes they put out fires between dads and the family. Moms. That gracious, kind, loving, tender fire extinguisher that can help the family stay calm. By the way, moms, that's what you're supposed to be doing. They can douse the gossip so the fiery tongue does not destroy. My mother is the one that used to say, if you don't have anything good to say, just shut your mouth. Too bad moms don't say that more. Now they just sit around and gossip with their kids. But thank God for it. They remind us that the stove will burn our fingers. And after you touch it anyway, they'll say, I told you. Yeah. Moms, what are they? They teach us about fighting fires. Moms, they're also, hate to say it, but they're custodial superintendents of the home. Mothers help us keep the world clean. They'll help us to clean our plate. They'll help us to clean our room. Do you understand that the dirty clothes hamper industry would be totally out of business if it were not for mothers? You say, why? Kids and husbands would throw everything on the floor. But moms are the ones that say, could you put that in the dirty clothes? Could you put that in the hamper? Could you put that where it belongs? I'm thinking, what are doorknobs for? That's where I'm supposed to hang my jacket. They serve really no purpose. Yeah. Mothers are custodial superintendents. Mothers are the ones that are least likely to litter. They're the ones that tell us we ought to have a clean mouth and a clean life. I don't know about all of you, but my experience in life is when mother is going to visit the grown daughter's house, the grown daughter always likes to have a little heads up that mom is coming. You say, why? There might be a couple things that ought to be put away, put in its place. Because mom said while we were growing up that cleanliness is next to godliness. And mom, if you're not saying that, you need to. It's worth saying. It's worth hearing. Thank God for moms. Why? They keep us clean in life. You say, how? Spit baths. You got all your handy wipes and everything. Mothers in the last generation didn't carry those around. You lick your fingers and you swipe the kid down with the spit. Then your mother turns around and you spit on the ground and your mother says, that's dirty. You shouldn't spit. I'm thinking, you just washed my face with spit. Moms, you'll associate immediately. They are the ones that are our taxi drivers, our bus drivers, and the ones that get us from point A to point B in life. I'm not shocked that mothers don't have to actually, when they start having children, get public passenger chauffeur's licenses. The average mom could climb into an 18-wheeler and drive it anywhere to get the merchandise where it needs to go. I mean, she drags us to school and to church and to activities and to ball games and to the library and to the doctor and to the dentist and then to the candy store and then to the dentist and to the candy store and back to the dentist. All moms ought to have little yellow lights on top of their cars that says taxi. Poor moms, they drive and they drive and they drive and they drive. What are they doing? And I'm telling you, everything I'm describing is what the average mom does. And you ladies, you already know. You know it. You know that's what your life is like. And dads, it wouldn't hurt for you to be reminded of that's what their lives are like. And young people, everybody here ought to think back to everything that your mama did to help you to make it through life and realize who she was and what she was and thank God for that. I don't know about your house, but my house, my mom was also a veterinarian. Wow, she helped me bury dead sparrows, feed stray dogs. It's incredible. And every child says, oh, Mom, if I can have it, I'll feed it, I'll feed it, I'll feed it. And all mothers would say, yeah, for about a week. And then who takes care of that puppy and who takes care of that cat? It is the compassionate one that wouldn't let that animal suffer. We one year got our children, it was Easter time, and we got a baby duck, and we thought if we gave our children a baby duck, it would only live a week or so. So we get credit of giving the duck, and the duck dies, and then we're rid of it. So we're the good mom and dad that give the baby duck. Our stupid duck would not die for anything. And we named it Ping, and this duck, I mean, it grew up full. It wanted to be part of the family and be in the Christmas pictures and oh my. But Mom, and who got stuck with taking care of it? Mom. You say, why? I only wanted it for a week. The kids didn't have the sense to take care of it beyond that, so Mrs. Owens and Ping the duck became best friends. And then, I can't believe my wife allowed this. Growing up at the Christian school where my kids went, they had a science class. In the science class, they did science projects. Therefore, they had to pick a project. And at our house, their science project we have had in our home through the years raising our kids. They raised an alligator once. They raised a tarantula. They raised a piranha. They raised this aggressive iguana, among other animals that my wife still has no idea were in our home. And she can talk to the kids about it. I'm not getting into that. But I'm telling you, if it were not for Mom, kids wouldn't know anything about probably pets, the care of them, what to do, what not to do. Don't feed the dog. If you feed that stray dog, the dog's going to stay here. And I'm thinking, I already fed the dog. I'm just coming in to get more food. That's all I'm trying to do. Don't play with the dog while it's eating. All you got to do is ask why and try. Mothers are referees. Mothers are philosophers. It's mother who recommends to you, don't say anything behind someone's back. It may come back to pursue you. It's mother who tells you to wear clean underclothes. You might be in an accident. The philosophy of mom. I still haven't seen any EMTs checking on that when you're in an accident, but anyway. It's mother who says, I don't care what all the other kids are doing. We're not doing that. Mom's a philosopher. Mom's a business manager. She'll help us with our lawn mowing business and our lemonade stand and our paper route. She'll teach us to tithe. She'll teach us that money doesn't grow on trees. Mom, she's a beauty consultant. She can help you fix a bad hair day. She can help a little boy fix a bad haircut that he chose to give himself. And moms, don't worry. I think every boy does it at least once. And it all depends on what kind of conversation his mother has with him after he does it the first time that determines whether he does it a second time. My mom broke me of it the first time. Thank God it's mom that's there to help us learn to coordinate our clothes, how to press our clothes, how to polish our shoes. What is she? She's just a fashion consultant. I don't know about you, but my mom, she was a bicycle mechanic. There's a thing called a bicycle, kids. It's got two wheels, and you get on it, and you pedal it. You use your energy, and you ride it outside where the sunshine is. It is not on a little box where you push buttons. I mean, you actually do this. But we had a thing called a bicycle. My mom was there to help me lower my seat, raise my seat on my bicycle. She was there to help me fix my kickstand. Oh, flat tires. And she's the one that taught me I wasn't what the kickstand was for. Because I'd ride in and jump off my bike, and it'd ride about 10 more foot without me and crash into a tree. And my mother would remind me that they bought that with their hard-earned money, and that's what the kickstand is for. And don't leave your bicycle out. Somebody's going to steal your bicycle. All those lessons of life I had to learn, my mother taught me. I think mothers may be our greatest missionaries. The mother that is the true Jane of all trades cares that her children are saved. They care that their children get to church. They care that their child's final destination is heaven, not hell. They care that their child understands the God of the universe wrote a book. And that book is not just to be a decorative centerpiece on the coffee table at home, but it's to be out where it's to be seen and carried. And lived. I told you time would not allow. I wish I could take another hour and tell you my analyzation of the Jane of all trades. Because we could go on and on and on. I was thinking at our house, I've got a toolbox there. And it's a big roll around toolbox. There's a bottom box and a top box. But at our house, ever since we got married, Mrs. Owens has a toolbox too. Now hers doesn't look like mine. She's got a shoebox, and in that shoebox, she's got a screwdriver and a hammer and a pair, and it's hers. And it says on the end of the box, "Mom's toolbox," and she uses it. You'd think that, you know, here I've got my big old toolbox, and I'd take care of it. But you know what? I'm just not always there, and every woman here understands this. There's not always someone there to do what needs to be done, and men, you would never be able to gather how much happens. You don't even know what's being fixed behind the scenes and repaired. I don't know. But it may be that women are the most versatile creatures on the earth. They just seem to figure out how to get most anything done that's got to get done. So I say today, mothers, they are to the jack of all trades, they are the Jane of all trades. I think they ought to be appreciated, respected. And ladies, I think you can associate. I might have been a little funny here and there, but I really, may I say to you, thank you. Thank you for everything you do. We can't even keep track of it. Thank God for moms. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here today and you've never been born again, I want to recommend to you Jesus Christ. You ought to get born again. You ought to get saved. If you need to be saved, you come. We'll take the Bible and show you how to be born again. But I want to, if I may, then I want to encourage you. Those of you young ladies, and you're not a mom yet, you don't have children yet, you're not married yet, why don't you set your sights on becoming the Jane of all trades? Just figuring it out and getting the job done. And then to the moms, some of your children are grown, maybe out of the house, but maybe not. I just want you to know, we appreciate it. We appreciate it. And God sees everything you do. God sees it. And thank God for it. Who here would say, "Preacher, God has definitely spoken to my heart today"? Maybe there are men, maybe there are children here that would say, "Pastor, you know, I'm glad for the reminder." Sometimes we just get so caught up in life, we forget what moms do and what moms have done for us, what they're capable of. Thanks for reminding me. But maybe yet someone else would say, I need to treat my mom a little better. And yet there might be a mom here that would say, "Pastor, I ought to work a little harder at being better at those things in life." I don't know, but who here would say, "Pastor, God has spoken to my heart today in this place"? Would you raise your hand and say, "God's spoken to me today, and I know He's working in my life"? God bless you. God bless you. If you need the altar, hey, there might be somebody you just need to walk out, get on your knees, and say to God, "God, thank you for my mom." Even if she's gone, you can come and say, "God, thank you for my mama. And I just heard a big chunk of what she has been like described." You say, my relationship with my mom is not glistening like that. Well, you can still love her. Might not even be that you'll be like her. Maybe she misbehaves. But you can still love her. And you can decide to be the right kind of mom. I'm going to ask the pianist to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Do you need a moment at this altar? Do you need to be saved? If you do, why don't you come? Mom, do you need to come and take a moment and pray? Are you a child that needs to come and take a moment? Thank God for mom. The scripture said, "She looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness." One more time through the song, Sarah, if you would, please. There's somebody out there. You really do need to rethink your Mother's Day. Give Mom a call. Do a little something for her, maybe even if it has to be from a distance. Some of you that are a little unkind to your mother, teenager, there are teenagers sitting in this house. You are breaking your mother's heart right now. Wouldn't hurt you to get right with God. Wouldn't hurt for you to get your eyes off yourself and back on Jesus and back on maybe Mama's heart. And to every man, every husband, every dad, you better thank God for your wife. Thank God for Mama. Sometimes they sure come in handy with the communication breakdowns and